Today's daf is daf chaf, and we're going to start from v'abasar tamei at the end of the second line. Now, in order to appreciate this, we go back to daf yutes amud aleph on the bottom of the amud, where the Gemara quotes a testimony from a Mishnah in Edios of Chanina Skana Kohanim. Al machat shenimtzeis bibosar. So we find, after we open up the Kodesh, the Kodshim, we discover that there's a needle that is pierced into the bosar, the Kodshim, into the very flesh of the animal. And there's a sakin, a knife that apparently came in contact with this machat. And the Adayim of the Kohanim that touched the machat. And tahoros, as far as the sakin and the yayin and the adayim, they are tahoros. However, the basar becomes tame. Then the Mishnah continues and says, nimtzeis, if the machat is found beperesh in the tsoa, the excrement of the animal, hakol tahar, even the basar is tahar. So the Gemara asks the following. In the Reisha of the Mishnah, it says that he found the machat, which was tmeya, in the basar, and the basar is tame. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, basar is called ochlin, and an ochel is not makabel tuma, it's not susceptible to tuma, unless it had a contact with machshirim, one of the seven machshirim, one of the seven liquids, that's yayin, dvash, shemen, cholov, tal, dal, dam, or mayim. So the Gemara asks, hi, basar, this kasher b'may. The basar contracted to it, must have had come in contact with one of the seven machshirim. And e name it this kasher b'dam, if you're going to offer the suggestion that maybe the dam itself, which is one of the seven machshirim, was obviously in contact with the basar, so the basar therefore was mukshal lekabel tuma, and hence it's tame through the contact with the machat. Va'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan, we had a Gemara earlier on Daf Tezvav, and the Gemara there said that minayin l'dam kodshim she'eino machshir, that the only dam that's one of the seven mashkim and seven mashkim which are machshirim is dam she'nishpach Kimayim, dam that is spilled onto the floor. But dam kodshim, which is received in a kli shares, it's not spilled on the floor, is not the dam that the Torah prohibits under the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Dvarim Perek Yud Beis, lo sochlenu ala arts tivshchenu b'kamayim. Dam shenishkach kamayim is machshir. If you have dam, and there's an equation here with dam and mayim and water, so you spill the dam, that's called a machshir, and it's machshir l'kabel tuma. But the dam of kodshim or karbonos she'eino nishpach kamayim, but rather it's subject to zrik al gavi mizbeach machshir. Eino machshir. It's not one of the machshirim. It's not considered a mashke. It's not considered dam. So we have to come up with another alternative as to how this basar was mukshar lekabel tumah. V'ela, so what are you going to tell me? The iskasher b'mashke beis mitbachaya. That when they shechted the karbon and they wanted to prepare the basar for achila, they washed it in water. That's called hadacha. And that's called Mashki Debei Mitbachaya. That took place in the Azor itself after the Shechita. So that process of Hadacha would have achieved the goal of being Masha the Basar LeKabel Tumah, because now the Basar is wet from the Mayim Beit Mitbachaya. Says the Gemara, that's not true. That can't be so. V'omer Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, we had previously learned in the name of Rabbi Yossi, that mashki bei mitbachaya lo dayan shem dochon el she'ein machshirin. Not only is the mayim in the azara that's used for adochas hakirbayim of the korbanos, not only is the mayim itself tar, but a machshirin, it can't even function as mayim, as one of the seven machshirin. And the reason for this is because of the edus, if you recall, of Yossi ben Yoezer, that although mirabanon they may have given the status of the mayim as a machshir, but in the Beis HaMikdash they didn't have that. So we're still stuck now trying to figure out how this basar is mukshal lekabel tumah. It can't be the dam, it can't be the mayim. Ella, says the Gemara, kodshim doesn't need hechshal lekabel tumah. It could be makabel tumah even without the machshirin. And how is that so? This kasher b'chiba sakodesh. We have halacha of what's called chiba or chavivus of kodshim. And although, in general, the Torah says that for an ochel to be makabel tumah, you have to upgrade it to a status of an ochel choshuv, and that's through the contact with one of the machshirim, but in the case of kodshim, it has its own chashivas. That's called chibas hakodesh, and therefore it's makabel tumah even without the hechsher of any of the mashkim. Now, there's a gigantic machlokes about this principle called Chibas HaKodesh. Is it Doraisa? Is it Derabonon? Rashi, in fact, seems to be of the opinion that Chibas HaKodesh is only Derabonon. And this is the sheet of Rashi back on Daf Yutes Amud Aleph, Divya Maskal Alma. And this drosha, which Tosfos quotes and claims is a Doraisa, a source in the Torah for a scriptural concept called Chibas HaKodesh, Rashi learns it's only an Asmachta, and the din of Chibas HaKodesh is only Derabbanan. Tosfos back on Daf Yutes, Dira Maskal Alma, proves from a Gemara in Chulin that the din of Chibas HaKodesh is Deoraisa. Tosfos in Masechta Chagiga on Daf Chav Gimel quotes the case of Eitzim Ulevona. And these were coals that were used to burn them on the Mizbeach, on the Marocha, and the Levona, which is the incense that was used as part of the Menachos, Lo Hukshru B'mayim. And the halacha here is that Ein Chibas HaKodesh Mo'ila L'Hachshir Ochel, that Chibas HaKodesh is only a hechsher and substitute for any of the mashkim to be machsher and ochel lekabel tumah. However, it doesn't apply to Levona or Eitzim because those are not ochlim. Aval dovar shegam ein mino ochel lo huchshar b'mayim is ein Chibas HaKodesh machshirosu min haTorah. So any indication, says Tosfos, that the law of Chibas HaKodesh is the Rabbanon would only apply to something that's not an Ochel, and it's not Huchshar B'mayim, like those cases of Levona and Eitzim, and there Chibas HaKodesh is the Rabbanon. But if you have an Ochel, and it's Mekabel Tumah, but it wasn't Mukhshar Lekabel Tumah, then Chibas HaKodesh is the Doraisa Halacha, and obviates the need for any contact with any of the mashkim. So Gemara rejects this as well. Eimar de mahanyale Chibas HaKodesh. When do we say that Chibas HaKodesh replaces the need for a hechsher, for one of the machshirim, for Kabbalah's tumah? That's only le'ifsale gufe. But le'mimna bei rishon v'sheni nami. The Gemara says that as far as passeling Kodesh, as a result of its tumah, then we apply the principle of Chibas HaKodesh and we're machshir the kodshim to be makabel tumah even without any contact with any of the machshirim. But as far as Chibas HaKodesh having the power of tumah, that now we should start counting the seder of Rishon and Sheni L'tumah, such that now something that was makabel tumah through the mechanism of Chibas HaKadosh without a Makshir, it could now convey Tumah and transport Tumah to something else? For sure, that's not so. And how do we know this? From a statement of Reish Lakish. Is Tifshot to boy Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish vacillated about the following question. Tsarid shel menachos. The word tsarid means a yovesh, a certain dry clump of soles lemincha. Normally the soles lemincha was wet and soft, but here we're talking about a tsarid shel menachos. And at this point, this soles did not come in contact with the shemen, which is normally added to a mincha, so that the status now of this gush yavesh of a tsarid is that of something that was not huchshar lekabel tumah, and its only ability to be makabel tumah without a hechsher is because of the halacha of chibas hakodesh. And Reish Lakish vacillates whether or not it's makabel tumah even to convey tumah of monimbo rishon v'sheni to be metami acherim. Although, or perhaps it's not. It's only makabel tumah in and of itself without hechsher through the mechanism of chibas hakodesh, but to be able to convey tumah to others, that we don't have. That's not within the purview of chibas hakodesh. So now we've excluded three different possible solutions to the issue of how this basar could be makabel tumah without a machshir. It couldn't be dam, because dam kodshim is not a machshir. It could not be mayim, because the edus of Yosef ben Yoezer about mashkaya debay mitmachaya. And it couldn't be that there's no need for machshir through the principle of Chibas HaKodesh, because now in our Mishnah, the Eidus of Chaninas Kan Kohanim, the Basar, is going to convey Tumah. Om Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, Kigon Shahoysa, Poro Shel Zivche Shlomim, Ve'evira Bin Nahar. Now, the law is that with regard to Shlomim, the R, meaning the hides of the Shlomim, belong to the Bala Karban. And we mentioned, if you recall, the ethical etiquette that if you're a guest in someone's house, like the Olei Regalim, then you give them a gift of the hides. But in any event, in order to skin the hides after the Shechita, you need to subject the animal to wetness. So they used to take the animal before the Shechita into the river, and the outer skin became absorbed with water. As a result, shchata v'adayin mashke tofeach oleha. After the shchita, it was very easy to skin the animal and take off its hides, which is, again, moment abaylim. But, in effect, the basar is now still wet, which is called tofeach, at the time of the shchita. So it means that lo yitochen shelo yiplu mayim ha'or al abosa b'shas afshotas ha'or, when they skin the animal, which is called afshota, it's inevitable that some of the wetness from the nahar would now seep down into the basar, and that would be machshir the basar lekabel tumah. The Mishnah continues, nimtzeis b'peresh hakol tar. If you find the machat, not in the basar, the flesh, but rather in the excrement of the animal, everything is tar, including the basar. So the Gemara thinks that we're talking about peresh, that's what's called rach vilach. It's soft and wet. And the reason for that is because we just finished establishing that in this Mishnah, they took the animal and they brought it through the river. So therefore, v'neheder ha-peresh, v'netami le-basar. Why shouldn't it be so that the machat that is tame and now is penetrated into the peresh, and now the peresh itself, which, as we said before, is soft and wet, should therefore be metame the basar? Why? Because the parish has a Toras Mashke. It has the status of a Mashke. Now, a Mashke is Metame Ochel. So that the Machad is now Metame the Mashke, and the Mashke is Metame the Basar, which is Ochel. Omer Av Adamar Ava Beperesh Over. You're not right. It's not a case of Perish that is soft and wet, which would make it into a Toras Mashke, to be Makabel Tumah, and then pass on the Tumah beyond to the Basar, but rather it's Perish of it's very thick and dry Perish, and that's the case that we're dealing with. It doesn't have a Toras Mashke at all, because it's totally dry, and therefore cannot receive and convey Tumah. Rav Ashi Amar Afilu B'Perish Raka, I'll go back to your original premise, but nevertheless, Mishum Dehavi Mashke Soruach, the Torah says, Kol Mashke Asher Yishose Yitma. And the Torah adds these two words, Asher Yishose, as descriptive conditions in a Torah's Mashke. Mashke has to be something that's Kidei Asher Yishose, that you could drink. But this Peresh is Saruach. It's excrement, it's disgusting, it's not drinkable, and therefore it doesn't have the status of a Mashke. Tani Tana Kameder Rav Sheshes. One of the Talmidim brought a brisa in front of Rav Sheshes. Sheretz Metame Es HaMashkim UMashkim Metame Es HaKli UKli Metame Es HaOchlin VaOchlin Metame Es HaMashkim. If a Sheretz comes in contact with Mashkim, now the Mashkim are Tmeim, and they have the status of a Rishon Lituma, and Mashke is Metame Kli, making the Kli into a Sheni Lituma, which in turn is going to make the Ochlin inside the Kli into a Shlishi Lituma, and the Ochlin now could be Metame Mashkin, making it into a Revi Lituma. Now, this is very strange. How could the Brisa possibly present the thesis that Mashkim are Metame Kli? We had a whole sugya. I mean, there was a Havamina that Rabbi Yehuda the Tana was of the opinion that Mashkin could be Metame a Kli. But the Gemara establishes that even Rabbi Yehuda rescinded that original position. You remember that the Gemara quoted a Brisa of Rabbi Yehuda about a case where the Tumah came from the outside and it's not Metame the inner part of the Kli, which indicates that the entire episode, the entity of Tumas Mashkin Legabi Caleb is all Durabbanon on a Doraisa level. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Mashkin are not Metame Caleb. And here, clearly the Brisa is saying that after the Sheretz was Metame the Mashkin were Metame the Caleb. How could that be? So the Mefarshim, based on the Gemara that we're about to learn now, insist that this whole Brisa reflects Rabbi Yehuda's original view that Mashkin o Metame Kelim. Now, at the end of this whole Chagad, it says, L'manu Sholosh Tumas B'Sheretz, which means that when you start with a Sheretz, you can end up with a Shlishi. Wait a second. Somebody can't count to the number four? Rav Sheshes turns this Amora and he says, Hani Arboe, right? The Mashke had contact with the Sheretz, so the Mashke became a Rishon. Then the Kli had contact with the Mashke, so the Kli becomes a Sheni, all based on Rabbi Yehuda's Havamin, right? Now the Ochel comes in contact with the Kli, and the Ochel becomes a Shlishi. The Mashke comes in contact with the Ochel, and becomes a Revi. Now, if you recall back on Daf Yud Ches, even according to Rabbi Akiva, who was the Baal HaDrasha, that Yitma means Yitame Acherim, even he stopped at Shlishi. In other words, we never found anywhere that a Sheni could make a Shlishi and beyond the Shlishi make it into a Revi. The Chiddush of Rabbi Akiva was that a Sheni could make a Shlishi in Chulin, but not a Shlishi to Revi. There's no way that we could take this brisa at face value. So the Gemara answers, what we have to do is goes. Goes means you have to cut out something from this brisa, completely omit it. Mashkim Duresha. It's not that the Sheretz was Mitami Mashkin that in turn was Mitami a Kli, but rather Sheretz was Mitami the Kli. The Kli became a Rishon. The Kli, vis-a-vis the Ochel inside the Kli, makes the Ochel into a Sheni Lutumah, and the Ochel makes the Mashke into a Shlishi Lutumah. And this is a reflection of Rabbi Akiva Shita, that in Chulin we have a Shlishi Lutumah, but there's no Revi. So the Gemara raises the following question on Rav Sheshes. Why do you cut out the first mashke in this whole Chagadya? Adarabba, goes mashkin to Sefer. Take out the last mashkin. In other words, the Sheretz was metame the mashkin. The mashkin was metame the Kli. The Kli was metame the Ochel. And that's it. Leave out the last piece in the Braisa that says that the Ochel was metame mashkin. So if Sheshes responds, Delo ashkechan tana diomashem mashkin metamim Kli. We have to get rid of the first mashkim. The Ella, the only Tana that goes on record in the Havamina, that mashkim could be metame Kli, which is reflected in the Braisa, if you leave in the first mashkim, is Rabbi Yehuda Vahodarbe. Rabbi Yehuda himself, as we proved early on Daf Yud Zayin, retracted his original position, his original statement. And therefore, if you are going to accept the first mashkim in the girsa that we have, then there's no one who could possibly justify this brisa that the mashkin of Metami Kalin. No one holds the mashkin of Metami Kalin. Therefore, we remove the first mashkin and the Tumah Sheretz goes into the Kli. The Kli is Metami the Ochlin and the Ochlin of Metami Mashkin. That's how we get the Shlish. V'simonach. And now Rav Sheshes offers a mnemonic device, you know, something that will help you remember this, the Seder Asiya, is Nizah Yaisa. Nizah Yaisa is a gigantic vat that they use to make beer. And when they made beer, they first put in this gigantic vat, Siorim, which is barley, which has hops, right? So now he has Ochel. And then afterwards, they poured in the wine. So you see that we should always remember that first came the Kli, then came the Ochel, and then came the Mashke. So it's Kli, Ochel, Ochel, Mashke. Tanan Hossam, we learned in a Mishnah in Masechta Kelim, and this is in the 8th perek of Masechta Kelim. Sheretz shenimtza b'tanur, you have an earthenware oven, and the sheretz is inside the oven. What else is in the oven? There's a bread, a loaf of bread that's baking in the oven, but there was no contact between the sheretz and the loaf of bread. Hapas shebetocha shnia. The bread inside the oven becomes a sheni l'tuma. Why? Mipnei shatanu t'chila. So the sheretz is the avatuma. The oven itself becomes the rishon l'tuma. And the pas inside the oven becomes a sheni l'tuma. That's the Mishnah in Masechta Kelim. So the Gemara asks, why should you consider the pas inside the oven to be a sheni and the oven itself to be a rishon? We should view this relationship between the sheretz and the tanur, the kli cheres, as if everything inside has a direct contact with the sheretz. In other words, not that the tanur becomes a rishon, and it in turn is metame the pas, which is lying on the floor of the oven, but rather the pas together with the tanur both have a direct contact with the sheretz. Why is that so? I mean, physically, the sheretz is not in contact with the pas, but rather we have a principle of kiman demoli tuma domini. We view the entire kli, meaning in this case the tanur, as if it's full with tuma. And the bread no less than the tanur has direct contact with the tuma. And this is the principle of a sheretz. A sheretz is mitami mi aviro. So the sheretz did not actually have any physical contact with the tanur. Imagine if you're holding the sheretz, you know, on a string. So it's inside the halal, it's inside the airspace of the oven, but it doesn't have any direct contact, neither with anything in the oven and not even with the walls of the oven itself. Ella what? The Torah considers it as if the avir, the entire halal, is filled with tumah. And therefore the pas is not a sheni l'tumah, but rather should be a rishon l'tumah because it is in direct contact with the avir, and the entire tanur is kemole tuma domi. Is tehevi high pas rishona? Why does the Mishnah classify and define the pas as a sheni l'tuma? Amale, so the Gemara says that Rava gave the following response to Rav Ado bar Avo, lo salkadaito. Don't even entertain the idea that the tanur has the status of kemole tuma domi. This sanya we learned in a brisa, and this brisa is addressing the case of a kli cheres, and there's a sheretz inside the kli cheres. Yachol you kol hakelim, you have utensils inside the oven. They're made of wood. They're made of metal. Is mitame mi avir kli cheres? Now you would think that the avir of the kli cheres directly conveys tuma to these kliates and kli mateches, and that would be based on the pasuk. It says in Vayikra kol asher b'tocho yitma, and kol asher b'tocho yitma would imply that even kalim, even utensils like these kliates or kli mateches, are also included in kol asher b'tocho yitma. Talmud Lomar, and here we turn to Daf Chaf Amid Beis. The pasuk says, "V'chol kli cheres asher yipol mehem el tocho," and then it ends with the words, "Kol asher betocho yitma." So far again, if we're going to be very naive about it, "Kol asher betocho yitma" seems to imply that all the kalim inside contract direct tuma. But v'samichle, in the next pasuk, it says, mikol ha'ochel asher ye'ochel asher yavo olav mayim yitma, which means, this is what we call smichus, from the contiguity of the psukim, it means dafka ochel mitame means receives tuma, mi aver kli cheres, v'ein kol hakele mitame mi aver kli cheres. In other words, we don't view the kli cheres, in this case the tanur, as if it's full with avir of tuma, because the Torah specifies the ochlin, only the food within the tanur are susceptible to tuma. But kalim that are inside the tanur, they don't receive tuma from the sheretz. And therefore, if you have kalim in the kli cheres and they now become tame, then when it says kol asher betocho yitma, that's going to be a tuma because of betocha, meaning betocha that it's inside the kli, it's inside the tanur, but it's not from the sheretz. The sheretz is betame ochlin and the kli, but not kli meaning the tanur, but not the kalim inside the tanur. Then we apply the principle of kol asher betocho, and therefore the kalim are a sheni l'tuma, not a rishon l'tuma. So we're about to start now a new sugya here on Daf Chaf Amid Beis, the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah that quotes Rabbi Yossi to the effect that everybody, all the Tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, agree that we can burn chametz of truma, that's tahora, together. I'm sorry, that chametz of truma tahora has to be burned separately from chametz of truma tmea, and that's called zu bifnei atzma v'zu bifnei atzma. Because if we would combine them into one fire and save us the money on the firewood, then we would be metame truma tahora. We're not allowed to be metame truma tahora. The Torah says mishmarti, mishmeres trumasi, that we have to be very careful about truma and not be metame it. However, Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah says that there is a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, but that's not in the case of truma tahora. That's in a case of what's called truma tluya. Truma tluya means that it's a suffix as to whether or not the truma contracted tumah. Like, let's say, for example, a tummy went in there and there was a chavis of yayin of truma. We don't know if he came in contact with this chavis of yayin. So that's called a suffix tumah. In the case of a suffix tumah, Rabbi Yeshua says that you're allowed to burn suffix truma tmea together with truma tmea, vadai truma tmea, in the same cauldron. And there's no isur to be metame truma tluya. But if it would be vadai truma tahora, then everybody, even Rabbi Yeshua, would agree that you're not allowed to mix it together with truma tmea and burn it together. So the Gemara now presents a contradiction between Rabbi Yeshua, as he's quoted in our Mishnah, and another statement of Rabbi Yeshua. Rav Chisda Rami Pischa a Pischa. He asks a stira in the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua from our Mishnah, in the case of Truma B'Erev Pesach, on the following brisa. The brisa, Anu Mishani, and he's going to offer an answer. So what is the question of Rav Chisda? Mi Omer Rabbi Yeshua Shteyen Ke'achas. That in a case where you have truma tluya, tluya means safek tame, safek tahar, then you're allowed to achas, you're allowed to burn them together with truma tmea. Ureminu, we're going to ask a question from a brisa. And the brisa is going to record, you may remember this, that Rabbi Meir tried to prove from the Eidus of Rabbi Hanina, Skan Kohanim, and Rabbi Yeshua, that you're allowed to take Truma Tahora on Erev Pesach and burn it together with Truma Tmea. The Omar and Rabbi Yosef responded in dissension to Rabbi Meir, and he says, Ein ani don dome l'raya. Your proof from Rabbi Hanina Skan Kohanim and Rabbi Akiva to your analogy to Sreifas Truma is not an accurate analogy. And why is that? Kishayidu Ravosenu Almahe Idu. When our rabbis wanted to testify that you're allowed to burn Trumas Chametz, if the intention was to prove it from Rabbi Hanina Skan Kohanim. In other words, when Rabbi Yossi says that Kshe'idu Rabosenu, which Rabosenu did he have in mind? He'idu Rabosenu means to prove that you're allowed to burn Trumas Chametz, even though it's tar. And that's the Eidus of Rabbi Hanina Skan Kohanim. Al Basar, meaning Basar of Kodshim, Shenitmu. Shenitma b'vlad, vlad here means vlad avlad, it means shlishi l'tumah. Shesorfen also ima bosa shenitma b'ava tumah. So you have bosa that came in contact with ava tumah, it's a rishon l'tumah, and now you're burning it together with kodshim, that's a shlishi l'tumah, which means that you're upgrading and intensifying the level of tumah. Zeh tumah v'zeh tumah. It's impossible to base any conclusions and prove a thing from the Eidus of Rav Chanina Skan Kohanim, because you're talking about two pieces of Truma, both of which are Tameh, albeit one is a Rishon and one is a Shlishi. But that has nothing to do, and you cannot conclude that you're allowed to burn Truma Tahora with Truma Tmeya. Maybe we should say that the proof of Rabbi Meir is not from the Eidus of Rabbi Chanina Skankon, but rather from the Eidus of Rabbi Akiva. And what was Rabbi Akiva's Eidus? It was Im Ala Shemen Shenifsal Bitful Yom. Right, Tful Yom is a Tomei who needs two conditions to be fulfilled for him to achieve purification, Tara. Number one, he needs Tefillah. Number two, he needs Harif Shemesh. And before the Harif Shemesh, after the Tefillah, his status is that of a Sheni Lutuma. And he can create a Shlishi Lutuma. So now what happens is you have Shemen Shenifsal B'maga Tful Yom. So that Shemen has the status of a Shlishi Lutuma. And now you pour that oil, not into your Hanukkah candle, but Madlikin Oso B'ner Shenitma B'tmei Mes. You have a metal receptacle that came in contact with a Tomei Mes. And now, Rabbi Akiva testifies that they would take this Shemen that was a Shlishi Lutuma and pour it into a Ner Shel Shemen. And this Ner was a Ner Shenitma B'Tomei Mes. It had the din of an Avatuma because Cheref Harev Kecholol, and it's made of metal, and therefore it retains the same level of the mess itself, which is an avatuma. So now you're taking a shlishi lutuma and you're putting it together with an avatuma and you're burning it together. And that's going to prove that certainly you're allowed to take Truma Tahora on Erev Pesach, let's call it, and burn it with Truma Tmeya. No. That's no proof. Zeh posel. In other words, the Shemen itself that came into contact with the Tful Yom is the Sheni, and the Shemen therefore became a Shlishi, that Shemen is Posel. So it does have the Tuma level of a Shlishi the Tuma. And therefore, there's no Mishmeres Trumosai, there's no inhibition or prohibition about burning it together with, or in this case, not burning it, but putting it into a Ner, Shenitma B'Tomei Mes. And therefore, there's no proof. I don't understand Rabbi Meir's proof. And Rav Yossi now comes to the final conclusion. And he says, Afanu Modim B'Truma Shenitmes B'Vlad, which means Vlad, Vlad Atuma. It has the status of a Shlishi Lutuma. Shesorfen Osa Im Truma Shenitmes B'Avatuma. That I can agree with because you're just being mosif tuma, you're not creating tuma because the truma already, that nitbeis vevladatum was already tuma, albeit in a shlishi. Aval hech nisrof afilu tluya im hatmeya, meaning on Erev Pesach, shema yovo elyo v'yatare. We cannot even take a sofek tuma, sofek tar in truma, and burn it with Truma Tmeya, because Elio might come and tell us that the Tomei never really had any contact at all with this Chavis of Truma, and therefore the Chavis of Truma is Tahora. And now you burnt it together with Truma Tmeya, you're being Mitame Truma Tahora. In any event, you see clearly from this Brisa and the words of Rabbi Yossi that everybody agrees that you cannot burn Truma Tluya together with Truma Tmeya. Our Mishnah says, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, that according to Rabbi Yoshua, you're allowed to burn Truma Tluya with Truma Tmeya. Well, Mishani and Rav Chizda offers his own answer to the Stira. Ha, Rabbi Shimon, Aliba de Rabbi Yeshua, Ha, Rabbi Yossi, Aliba de Rabbi Yeshua. There are two versions of Rabbi Yeshua's position. There's Rabbi Shimon's version, and that's the version in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yeshua permits you to burn Truma Tluya, Sofek Tomei, Sofek Tar, together with Truma Tmeya. And then you have Rabbi Yossi's version of Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua says that we always have to worry that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come and clarify that this Truma is Truma Torah, therefore we can't take Truma Tluya and burn it with Truma Tmeya. So don't ask me a kasha from the Mishnah to this Braisa. The Mishnah records the transmission of Rabbi Shimon in terms of Rabbi Yeshua's statement, whereas the Braisa is the tradition of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yeshua. And now the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa that actually records this machlokes. The Sanya, we learned in the Braisa, our boss, Osha Chalios B'Shabbos. Honestly, I'm not sure why the Braisa has to give us that case, that the 14th of Nisan was on Shabbos. But in any event, Mavir Nesakol Milifnei HaShabbos. Maybe the Braisa wants to tell us a Chiddush in the law of Havaras Chametz. Really, that's not the part of this Braisa that's relevant to us. So in any event, on Erev Shabbos, which is now the 13th of Nisan, he's burning his chametz. V'sarfin trumos tmeos tluyos utahoros. We can take together in one pyre, truma tmeo, together with truma tluyo, which is a safek tome, and truma tahora. Divrei Rabbi Meir. And this is Rabbi Meir's famous shita that chametz on Erev Pesach is sofoli ibud. It's going to be destroyed. And therefore, there's no mitzvah of Mishmeres Trumosa. So you can take Truma Tahora and burn it with Truma Tmeya. Rabbi Yossi Omer Neit, Tahor Bifnei Atzma, Utluya Bifnei Atzma, Utmeya Bifnei Atzma. There's no way that you're allowed to mix in one fire Truma Tahora with Truma Tmeya. And even Truma Tluya, which is a Safek, you can't burn, you're not allowed to burn it together with Truma Tmeya, because maybe Eliyahu HaNavi will come. Of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. And he says, Lo nechleku Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, al hatahora, vi al hatmeya. In other words, in a case of Truma Tahora, even Rabbi Yeshua agrees that you're not allowed to burn it together with Truma Tmeya. You'd be mitame Truma Tahora. In a case of Truma Tmeya, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that you're allowed to burn it together with Truma Tmeya. Why? Because it itself is already Tmeya. And She'ein Sarfin, and again in the case of Truma Tahora, you cannot burn it together with Truma Tmeya. Alma Nechleku. So what is the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? Ala Tluya v'ala Tahora. If you have Safek Tuma together with Tahora. I'm sorry. There's going to be a double machlokas. One machlokas is about Tluya, and another machlokas is about Tahora. She Sarfin. Everybody agrees that in a case of Truma Tluya, just 1 second, let me just get the mathematics here. Ludivri Akol. Sofin osan yachad. Shemei achash lehuchsko truma tluya betuma v'yeno l'sofik sofin osan yachad v'truma tohora eina dover nirik moshe mitamim es ha-tohora biyodayim. Oh, I see. You have to read it like this. Everybody agrees that you cannot burn truma tohora with tmeya, or Truma Tluya with Tmeya. But the Machlokas is going to be if you want to burn Tluya with Tahora. And why is that? Because in the case of Truma Tluya, which is a Safek, then we go back to its original Chazaka, and the original Chazaka is Tahora, unless we know for sure it became Tmeya. So therefore, we can assume in a Safek situation that the Tluya is Tahora, we can burn it together with Tahora. And you might say, well, it looks like he's burning something that's Tomei together with something that's tahar? The answer is no. It doesn't look like that because the chazaka tells me that until you know for sure that this truma received tumah, you assume it's tahar. But what happens if you want to burn tluya, which is a safek tame, together with tmeya? Rabbi Lezer Omer tisarev zubifnei atzma, zubifnei atzma. Why? Because we have to consider the possibility that this truma tluya is really tahora, and therefore by putting it together with tmeya and burning them together, you are now being metame biyadayim. That which is tahora, Rabbi Yeshua Omer shtent kiachas. We don't have any mitzvah of shmiras truma in a case of truma tluya. Adarava, we have to consider it as if it was truma tmeya. In any event, we see clearly that there are two transmissions, or shall we say, two traditions and versions of Rabbi Yeshua. There's Rabbi Yossi's version of Rabbi Yeshua, and then there's Rabbi Shimon's version of Rabbi Yeshua. So that, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yeshua would not allow you, permit you to take truma tluya and burn it with tmeya. According to Rabbi Shimon, that's exactly the machlok stream Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Kasher, Rabbi Yeshua says that you're allowed to burn truma tluya together with truma tmeya. And the reason for that is because it's holichli ibud. And there's no mishmash trumosai once is a suffix tumah. So therefore, what we find in our Mishnah, that Rabbi Yeshua was matir, that is a reflection of the version of Rabbi Shimon in Rabbi Yeshua. The Bryce on the other hand that says that Rabbi Yeshua would agree that in Truma Tluya you're not allowed to burn it with Tmeya, that reflects Rabbi Yossi's version of Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara asks the following kasha on Rav Chisda. V'amasnisin, who is quoted in our Mishnah? It's none other than Rabbi Yossi. It's not Rabbi Shimon. So how can you tell me that our Mishnah, quoting Rabbi Yeshua as allowing burning Truma Tmeya with Truma Tluya, is Rabbi Shimon? The Mishnah itself quotes Rabbi Yossi. So Rav Chisda answers, Hachi Kamar, this is what the Mishnah means. Rabbi Yossi li Rabbi Meir. In other words, Rabbi Yossi was talking to Rabbi Meir, as recorded in our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir was matir to take Truma Tahora and burn it with Truma Tmeya on Erev Pesach. And Rabbi Yossi says, in my humble opinion, I'll have to be mitame even Truma Tluya. Is afilu Rabbi Shimon Valiba the Rabbi Yeshua the Mekil ki Mekil bitluya utmeya amo bitahora utmeya lo. Meaning that when does Rabbi Yeshua allow for leniency? That's only if you have Truma Tluya with Tmeya. But Truma Tahora, which Rabbi Meir was matir burning with Tmeya, even Rabbi Yeshua would not allow. So Rabbi Yossi is telling us that even in the most extreme lenient perspective on Rabbi Yeshua, that of Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Yeshua allowed you to burn Truma Tluya together with Truma Tmeya, but not Truma Tahora. Rabbi Yeshua, according to all opinions, never went as far as to accept and adopt the position of Rabbi Meir, who would allow you to be, you allowed you to burn Truma Tahora, which is Vade Tahora, together with Truma Tmeya. Now the Gemara has another stira with regard to Rabbi Yeshua. And this stira was raised not by Rav Chisda, but by Rav Yossi, Rav Chanina. Rami Truma Apischa. He has a stira in the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua from that which he said with regard to Truma the whole year round. And that which regard to Truma on Erev Pesach. Well, Meshani offers an answer. What is this kasha? Me, of Rabbi Yeshua, could Rabbi Yeshua actually have said in our Mishnah with regard to Tluya and Tmeya? Shteim kachas, we burn them together. You're allowed to burn Truma Tluya, biyodayim, with Truma Tmeya. Uremini, I'm going to ask you a kasha from a Mishnah in Masechta Trumos. Chavis, you remember this, we had this back on Daf Tezayin. Chavis shall truma shenoled bas safek tuma. Again, the tummy went in there, and we don't know if he had contact with the barrel of wine, which was truma. Is Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mhaisam Unacha Asamakum Turfa Yanichen Makam Mutzlim Haisam Magula Yechasena? You have a mitzvah Shmiras Hatruma in the case of Sofek Tame. So you got to cover it, make sure that it doesn't get exposed to Tuma. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Mhaisam Unachas Be Makam Mutzlim was hidden. Yanichen Makam Turfa, you'll let her expose it. Haisam Machusa, you got to let your letter open up any sort of concealment. And you're going to be goring tuma, because since this truma is a suffix tuma, we don't have any mitzvah of mishmeres truma. And Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina, who's going to ask this kasha, now fleshes it out. He says that it would seem from Rabbi Yeshua in this mishnah in trumos that grama in the adayim lo, that you're allowed to take tluya, which is a suffix, and you're allowed to leave it exposed. But you're not allowed to be metame it be a diet. And yet, in our Mishnah, you took truma tluya, according to Rabbi Yeshua, and you put it together with truma tmeya and burnt it together on Erev Pesach, you take it be a diet. Well, Mishani Rabbi Yossi says there's no stira. Why? Huh. Well, we learned in our Mishnah that you're allowed to be metame truma tluya be a dayim. That's Rabbi Shimon Aliba de Rabbi Yeshua. And the version of Rabbi Shimon of Rabbi Yeshua's statement, you're even allowed to be metame truma tluya be a dayim. Veha. But what we learned in the Mishnah Masech the Trumas, you're only allowed to do it al yidei grama indirectly. That's Rabbi Yossi Aliba de Rabbi Yeshua. And therefore, a truma tluy on Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to burn it together with truma tmei, as we saw in Rabbi Yossi's version of Rabbi Yeshua. And if he's going to be metami, be a dayim, then he's violating the Isur of Mishmeres Trumosai. Now we have a third stira that's being raised with regard to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Truma Truma, he has a stira in the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua from truma to truma. Umeshani and Rabbi Elazar is going to resolve this contradiction. Me, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Grama in Biyadayim Lo. We just finished concluding that according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah in Trumos, you're allowed to expose the Truma Tluya, and you don't have to guard it, but you're not allowed to directly destroy it. Uramini, I'm going to ask you a steer from a different Mishnah, also in this 8th parak of Trumos. And it says there, Chavish shel Yayin shel Truma shenishbara begata el yonah v'tachteh chulin tmeim. So the Truma on the upper floor, once the barrel breaks, is now dripping into the Truma, mixing with the Truma of Chulin, with the barrel of Chulin below it. Now, when the Truma falls into the barrel below it, it's going to generate an Iser on the Chulin, because we don't have Mea, we don't have enough to be Mevatel the Truma. So everything is going to become Asur, and he's going to suffer a great financial loss. And on this we have a Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And Moda Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, but there's one case in which they all agree. Shem Yochel Ahatzel Mimena Revius Lug Betara, that if he will grab a keli and receive the truma that's falling down after the barrel breaks, and he'll be able to save and salvage at least a Revius Lug Betara, and Yatzil, then he's got to run around looking for Kalim to be Makabel. Even though, in the meantime, most of the Yayin is going to fall from the Chavis of Yayin of Truma into the Chavis of Yayin of Chulin, and it's going to generate an Iser in the Chavis of Yayin of Truma. Nevertheless, he should not be Makabel the Truma Tahora in Kalim Tmeim, because then he is going to cause tuma to the truma for the sake of saving the chulin. But v'imlav, if he cannot salvage anything with kelim tahorim, and the only option that he has is to grab on to Kelim Tmeim, and then he's going to be Metame the Truma. On that we have a Machlokas Tanoim, Rabbi Lezo Meteret V'titma V'al Yitami V'yad. He's not allowed to take Kelim Tmeim in order to receive the Truma, because then he's being Metame the Truma. And Rabbi Yishomer Yitamina B'yad. He's allowed to directly by taking Kelim Tmeim in order that the Yayin Shel Truma will fall into that Keli and not into the Chulin and generate an Issa in the Chulin. And even though he's being Metame the Truma, the answer is that if he does nothing, the Truma from the Chavis Elyon is going to fall into the Chavis HaTachtona, and everything's going to become Asur. So basically, says Rabbi Yeshua, in this case, the Truma is going Li'ibud. There's no longer a mitzvah of Shmiras HaTruma, and therefore he can take Kelim Tmeim to be Makabel the Truma and be Metameit, all for the purpose, the agenda of saving the Chulin from Hefzed. So how do we justify this? This is already Bekuvaseh. Until now, we said that Rabbi Yeshua only allows you begrama, that if Haya Megula, if Haya B'makom Mutzla, Yadichen B'makom Aturfa. But he never allowed you to take Truma and be Metameit B'yadayim. And we're talking about a case of a Chavish Shel Yayin Shel Truma Shenishbara Begata El Yona. Umishani, and the Gemara answers, Shani Hosim Dika Hefse. The only reason why Rabbi Yeshua would allow you to actively collect and receive the Truma from the Elyona into Kelim Tmeim, that's only because of the Hefse that he will suffer if you don't intervene and the Yayin falls from the Yayin of Truma falls into the Chulin, and it's going to generate an Isur. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua was compassionate, and he permitted taking Kelim Tmeim to be Metame V'yadayim. And again, why did he do so? Because it's so fully Ibud. Because if he does nothing, the Yayin is going to fall into the Chulin, and everything will be Asur. However, in a case where there's no Hefzed, then Rabbi Yeshua would say that you're not allowed to be Metame Truma V'yadayim, and you're only allowed to do it passively, that imhoya mechusa yigalenu. Maskifle Rava. Rava raises the following objection. Masnisin, the Mishnah that records Rabbi Yossi in the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, that you're not allowed to burn on Erev Pesach Truma Tahora with Truma Tmeya. Nami Ika Hefsid Eitzim. Why shouldn't Rabbi Yeshua allow this? The Chametz and the Truma Tahora is going to be destroyed anyway. It's holichli Ibud. And he should be able to actively take that Truma Tahora, which is Chametz, and mix it together in the fire. And you'll tell me, Rabbi Yeshua only allows that B'yodayim if there's a Hefzed, Ha'ika Hefzed Eitzim. He's going to have to get together a whole other set of logs to create another fire, a separate fire for the Truma Tahora. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye responds to Rava, Lehefzed Meruba, Chashashu, Lehefzed Buat, Lo Chashashu. In the case of Yayin Shel Truma that's falling into a barrel of wine, the barrel of wine of Chulin is worth a lot of money. That's called Hefse Meruba. It's a significant financial loss. But in the case of Eitzim, how much already is he going to lose by having to set up a new fire with new Eitzim? Uvino Temra, Abai wants to bring a proof that we're not Choshesh for a Hefse Muat. Minah Tamer de Hefseid Meruba Chashu Hefseid Muat Lo Chashu. This sign we learned in the Brisa on Chavish Shel Shemen Truma Shenishbara Begata El Yona Ubetachtona Chulin Tmeim is Moda Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua Sheim Yochel Hatzim Ben Revius Betara Yatzil. In other words, he should run around looking for Kelim Tahorim in order to save the Chulin, and if until he finds Kelim, then Tipol Ruba B'toch HaChulin V'Ta'asreim. even though if he won't find Kalim Tahorim, then the Truma Tamea, the Truma Tahora on the top, is going to fall into the Chulin on the bottom. But Vim Lav, if he cannot find any Kalim Tahorim, is then Tered Vititame Vial Tititititmen Biyat. According to Rabbi Eliezer, he's got to allow, how do we say, status quo, laissez-faire, allow the Yayin of Truma to fall into the Chulin. Why? Because he can't find Kalim Tahorim, and he's not allowed to take Kalim Tmeim and be Mitame Biyodayim Truma Tahora. And even Rabbi Yeshua, who is Matir, to be Mitame the Yad, nevertheless, that's only in the case of Yayin, but not in the case of Shemen. In the case of Shemen, if Shemen Shel Truma will fall into the Shemen of Chulin, and that's going to generate an Isur. And now he has the option of intervening and preventing the loss of the Shemen Shel Chulin by grabbing on to Kalim, and he only has access to Kalim Tahorim. Even Rabbi Yeshua would prohibit it. Says Abai, the reason for that is because in the case of Shemen, as opposed to the case of Yayin, we're only talking about a Hefseid Muot. Shemen is not as valuable as Yayin. And the Gemara clarifies this. Maishna Shemen Deroy Lahadlik. The Gemara says, wait a minute. You're telling me that he's not going to take such a loss if the Shemen Shel Truma mixes up with the Shemen Shel Chulin. And why is that not a loss? I mean, Shemen is also valuable, but the answer is, it's Roy Lahadlik. You can take this mixture of Shemen Shel Truma and Shemen Shel Chulin and use that Shemen as fuel in order to light your candles. Well, wait a second. Even a mixture of Yayin Shel Truma together with Yayin Shel Chulin, you can get benefit from it. It's worth something. Why? Nami Roy Lezilov. You're allowed to sprinkle it on the house, you know, let's say the floor of the house. And what it does is it gives a good smell, a good fragrant odor. So why is it that Rabbi Yoshua was matir to be mitame yayin of truma biyodayim by taking kalim tmeim to save the truma so that it doesn't get mixed up with the chulin on the bottom? The answer is because he's going to allow it for the sake of Hefseid Meruba. So the Gemara says, what do you mean Hefseid Meruba? In the case of Shemen, he didn't allow it, Rav Shimon, because it's not a Hefseid Meruba, because he's going to use the Shemen even after it mixes with the Chulin as fuel, combustion. Here also, in the case of Yayin, even after it mixes Truma with Chulin, he's allowed to use it to sprinkle on his bias. Maybe you'll tell me that that's not worth anything. That's not a tashmish chashuv. And therefore we must prohibit the yayin for shesia. He says, V'omar Shmuel mishum Rabbi Chiya shosin miyayin shenimkar lug b'sela u'mizalfin miyayin lug b'shtayin. In other words, if a person doesn't have enough money to buy the best yayin, then he should buy yayin that is royal zilof. Royal zilof. Anyway, we see clearly that zilof is considered a tashmish chashuv. And he buys it with Shnei Slayim, even though this Yayin is only for Ziluf. And the Gemara answers, Bechadosh, that when Rabbi Yeshua was Matir to be Metame Yayin, that was only Yayin Chadosh. And Yayin Chadosh is not royal Ziluf, which means that if we allow the Yayin to mix up with the Yayin of Chulin, then there's nothing that he can do with that yayin because it's not royal zilov. So the Gemara asks, for her royal yashno. Notice, why doesn't he just let the yayin get older over the course of time, with the passage of time, and then it's royal is ziluf, therefore he is suffering a loss, and therefore Rabbi Yosh, and he's not suffering a loss because it's still worth it for him for ziluf. And the Gemara answers that we can't allow him to leave the yayin around because osi be lidei takola, he might drink the wine, and he is not aware of the fact that it's asur because it is truma and he is not a kohen. So Gemara right away asks, Shemen Nami Osi Beili De Takola, if you allow him to leave the Shemen around and light with it, maybe he's going to use it for eating purposes and inadvertently doesn't realize that it's got the status of truma. And the Gemara answers, the Rami Le Bekli Mos, we're only going to allow him to be madlik the Shemen in a kli that was already used for lighting and so forth, so it's full of filth, and therefore he'll be careful and he won't come to swallow the shemen. So that's called Rami Le Beklimos. So the Gemara asked right away, Yayin Nami Rami Le Beklimos, why not be Mati the Shtia, but make the condition that he's got to make sure that the yayin is in a klimos to obviate the chashash that maybe he'll come to drink it not knowing that it's truma, not realizing it's truma. And the Gemara answers, leziluf kaboy le, beklimos rami le. The Gemara says that since he needs a fiziluf, he wants it, and he's going to put it into a klimos, and in that way he's going to be pogame, he'll have a pegima of the reach, so that if we allow him to leave around for ziluf, then he's going to leave it without putting it into a klimos, and he might come to eat it. So if we allow him to leave it over lashoso leziluf, then he'll yeshaynu, he'll leave it over without putting it into a klimos, and then he might come to eat the shemen, and that's why Rava asked it. The Gemara now quotes a machlokas tanoim about the chashash of takola with regard to Truma Tmeya. And the Gemara says, V'takola Atzma Tanoihi. In other words, are we Choshesh in the case of Truma Tmeya, or are we not? The Sanya, we have a brisa that says, Chavish Shal Yayin Shal Truma Shenitmeis Beit Shammai Omrim Tishofech Chevel. It should all be poured into one specific chevel. It means that the contents of this cask should be spilled out at once in volume. We did not allow it to be used in small increments for sprinkling, for ziluf, even on the same day, because somebody might come to drink it. Ubeisil omrim teyosa ziluf. It could be used for sprinkling, and we're not concerned about the possibility that somebody might drink of it. Om Rav Yeshua, Mishmael, Rav Yossi, Ani Achria. In other words, I'm going to come to a sort of a compromise sheet, balancing between these two views. So let's see how Rav Yishmael proposes to be the Machria and find a compromise. He says, Basode tishofech chaval. If the cask of truma wine became tomei out in the sode, then you spill it out in volume, and bebayis teyosa ziluf. If it became tummy in the house, it should be used for ziluf. So when the wine becomes tummy in the field, now when the wine becomes tummy in the field, let's go over this, and it cannot be used for rechonode for the aroma, then we have to be concerned that during the time that he needs to bring it home, he might drink some of it. Therefore, we require that it be spilled out immediately. But if it became tummy in the house, we're going to allow its use for the aroma purposes. And the Gemara now has another version, Rabbi Shmuel. He says, Ika diamri, according to others, bechadosh tishofech chaval. In the case of new wine, it should be spilled out in volume. Biyoshan Te'asa ziluf, but in the case of aged wine, it should be used for sprinkling. So according to this second Lishna, we don't have to be concerned for the possibility that somebody might drink the wine in the short time that will elapse before he brings it home from the field, but rather the concern must be addressed only in a case of new wine, which must be allowed to age before it will be fit for giving this aroma. The Braisa continues with the rejection of Rabbi Shmuel's attempt to come up with this, compromise shita. Amru lo, and here we're turning to Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Ein hachra shlishis machras. The weight of a third opinion cannot tip the balance between the two opposing. In other words, your opinion is an original line of reasoning that was not included neither in the view of Beit Shammai nor in that of Beis Hillel. Therefore, it does not weigh in their dispute. And we see from this braisa that Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel did not reckon with the concern for the occurrence of a misdeed, whereas Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, reckons with this concern. So the issue is therefore a matter of a machlokes tanoim. So this, we're going to stop here on the top of Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. And although we have just a little bit more to finish the perek, which I thought we might be able to do today, but I think we'll be smarter if we give more time to the last sugya here at the end of the first perek of Pesachim. So I'll take this opportunity to wish you all a great Shabbos, and thank you so much.